Hey guys, this is Gabe Andrade, the lead pastor of Tree of Life Church. Our vision is to lead people to become all-in followers of Jesus Christ. Our hope is that this podcast inspires you to grow deeper in your relationship with God and others. Enjoy this message.
What does God's voice sound like? When I was a kid, I used to imagine his voice sounding like thunder and lightning. But does he sound like a person? Does he sound like Yoda or Morgan Freeman or Mufasa with a deep tone? The truth is that we all want to hear God's audible voice, and we all want to hear what it sounds like. But the truth is that he often speaks to us through visions and dreams and prophets and people, but primarily through his word. When we have his word in our hearts, he reveals himself to us. He gives us revelation. He gives us divine thoughts. It's important to know that we are like antennas. We have the ability to receive spiritual frequencies, spiritual voices. And the title of today's message is, Who Told You That? Phoebe came in the house the other day. She was crying. She was frantic because someone told her that if she eats the seed of an apple, she's going to grow an apple tree within her stomach. So she's fearful. She's thinking, this is going to destroy me. And I had to tell her, no, that's not true. And then I asked the question, who told you that? And every now and then I'll come home with a new idea and I'll just present it to Ashley that we're going to do no meat, just vegetables, just greens. That's all we're going to eat. And she's thinking, what did you watch? Who told you that? When it comes to things that are more serious, like who told you that you had to struggle with lust, that you had to struggle with depression? Who told you that you had to continue battling some of the thoughts and the negative self-talk and some of the issues that you have? Who told you that you had to be alone, or do you had to be single, that you had to struggle financially? Who told you that you had to continue battling the same negative self-talk? The same issues and circumstances. Who told you that? Now, it's important to know who's speaking to us. So I have 3 points for you, and these are 3 voices that we have to differentiate who's talking to us. So we are empowered to say yes to the right voice and no to the wrong voice. And when we hear the right voice, I believe that it changes absolutely everything. And so the first point is that we have to be aware when the enemy's talking. So the first point is the satanic voice. The satanic voice is an influence that leads us to self-sabotage, to self-destruct. It opposes the very will of God. And the satanic voice, it often sounds like negative self-talk. Like I said earlier, it's the inner dialogue that's destructive in nature. And Jesus is being opposed by some Pharisees, those who do not believe in him. And here's what he says about them. Here's what he says in John chapter 8:44. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You see, the satanic voice, it lies to us. And now it's so subtle, we don't even know that it's happening. And in my life, 2 main issues and struggles that by God's grace, I've been able to overcome. And it's a daily surrender to the Lord for me to live in victory. But it's that of fear and perversion, fear and lust. And most men, they battle with these 2 areas, and a lot of people do in general. And fear is misappropriated faith. And so the enemy does not want you to have faith in God. He doesn't want you to believe the truth. So he attacks you with fear, intimidation, and he gets you to just worry, to be so concerned. And we get obsessive over these things and envious and jealousy. All these things stem from fear, insecurities. And when it comes to lust, it attacks our intimacy, our ability to bond, to have covenant. And so he wants us to see intimacy in a perverted way. And so the enemy attacked me at such an early age. I was 5 years old when a neighborhood friend found a magazine in the trash. He found trash in the trash and it skewed my view of intimacy. And the enemy was lying to me about what is real. And I believe more in false intimacy than I did in the true intimacy within the confines of marriage, a husband and a wife, a covenant. And when it comes to fear, I had more fear of darkness than I had reverence for the light. And so I struggled and battled with this. Now, he's a liar. He's been lying from the beginning of time. And he's been lying from your beginning of time. When you entered into the earth, he started lying to you. And these lies, over time, they form our identity. We think that these lies are true. And what is truth? Jesus was asked that question, and truth is the original formation. It's what God had in mind when he designed us. That's what truth is. The second thing the enemy does is that he accuses. He accuses God, and he accuses us. And then he gets us to accuse others. In the beginning of time, the devil asked Eve a question. He said, and this is in Genesis chapter 3, he says, did God really say that you cannot eat of any tree in the garden, of any of the trees? Did God really say that? And God didn't say that, but the enemy was trying to have a conversation because questions open the door for more. The person asking the question is the person controlling the conversation. And so Eve replied, no, of course we can eat from the trees in the garden. We can eat from anything and everything. We just can't eat from the tree in the middle, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And because if we eat of it, we will die. If we even touch it, we will die. And the devil said to her, you will not surely die, for God knows that the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. So she was convinced. She had a conversation. She was entertaining the wrong voice, which it led to her demise. It led to the fall of humanity. She took the fruit and she ate it, and then she gave it to Adam and he ate it, and immediately their eyes were open to their flesh, to their nakedness, and they felt shame. You see, their spiritual eyes were shut, but their soulish, sensual eyes were open, and they saw things in a different way, and they felt shame. Notice this, that when they sinned, their sexuality, their nakedness, they felt shame because the enemy had deceived and tricked Eve, and Adam disobeyed. So he accuses. The enemy accuses God. He accuses God's character, God's nature. He'll get us to think that God is not good. And even though we have bad circumstances, God is still good. And think about that. There were times in my life where I questioned God, not to get to know him, but to disprove him. Like, if God is so loving, why are so many bad things happening in the world? If God loves us, then why do these terrible things happen to good people? And the truth is that God is love and he is just, but the enemy will get us to accuse God, and he'll make us actually think that we are better and there's more good in humanity than there is in God. See, the enemy does that. That's the enemy's voice. But then he also accuses us. See, the enemy will get us to think too highly of ourselves. He will get us to exalt ourselves. That's called pride. But then on the other side of the coin, he'll get us to think too low of ourselves. And that's low self-esteem. We don't see ourselves correctly. We were made in the image and likeness of God, but we are not God, and we are not anything less than his children. But the enemy, he will get us to focus on how great humanity is, and then he'll tell you you're the scum of the earth. He'll feed shame to you. He will accuse you. He'll say that you're not good enough. He'll say that you'll never amount to anything. He'll say that you'll always struggle, that you're going to be just like your mother. You're going to be just like your father, that the generational sicknesses are going to continue. He'll tell you that you are going to die in a fatal accident. I mean, he'll put all these thoughts in your mind. He will accuse you. He will rob you of your peace. He will accuse you, saying that even though God created you as a male, he'll mess with your mind and make you think that you are not who he intended you to be. And when it comes to your sexuality, he'll mess with that. And this is a satanic voice. He goes against the nature of God and the nature of humanity. He attacks us. And so when we understand the voice of the enemy, then we are empowered to say no. Now think about this. The devil, he also questioned Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. And he questioned him. He tempts him three times. Now think of this. Jesus is starving. He's hungry. And the devil comes to him and he says, if you are, this is an accusation. It's a question. He's trying to control the conversation. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to turn into bread. Now, the way that Jesus answered the devil is the way that we need to answer when we are tempted, because the devil uses the word against the word, which is Jesus Christ. He is the living word manifested in flesh. And Jesus says, for it is written, he quotes Deuteronomy, the Torah, chapter 8, verse 3. He says, for it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So the devil tempts him again. He takes him to the highest point, the pinnacle of in Jerusalem of the temple, and he says, "For it is." He basically quotes the scripture. The devil quotes Psalms 91, and he says, "To throw yourself, because the angels, they will take hold of you, and they're not going to let you hurt yourself." I'm paraphrasing Psalms 91, and Jesus says, "This is what the scripture says." This is how Jesus responds. And he's quoting Deuteronomy 6:16. He says that you shall not tempt the Lord your God. We should not tempt God. And oftentimes the enemy wants us to tempt. He wants us to test God in a negative way. And again, the devil takes him to the third scenario. And he says, you see all these kingdoms, all of this, all of these systems, all of the glory that's in the world. I will give it to you if you bow down and worship me. And Jesus says, he quotes the scripture. He says, the scripture says, for it is written that you shall serve and worship God and he alone. And he's quoting Deuteronomy again, chapter 6, verse 13. See, the way that we reject the satanic voice is with the word of God, with God's voice. The more that we know God's voice, God's word, we can reject the enemy's voice. The second point is related to the satanic voice. It's the secular voice. It makes us focus on some of the sayings that become a reality, like YOLO, you only live once. Like, what is that? Like, just a temporary mindset? We live more than once, according to the Word of God. We live in eternity if we believe in Jesus Christ. Or follow your heart. Well, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. So we can't even trust our heart because it'll deceive us. Or sayings like, as long as you're happy. Well, the problem with that is that people are happy doing the wrong thing most of the time. You'll see people committing horrible crimes and injustice all over the world, and they seem happy. So that's not coming from God, that as long as you're happy. Now, I think it's good for us to be joyful, and I want us to be happy. I think God wants us to be happy, but as long as you're happy doesn't come from God. There are all kinds of sayings. And the secular voice, it aims to get us to live a lifestyle that directly opposes God's ways, God's desires, with our own desires. And it's all about us, as if we are the center of the universe, as if it's all about us. We are the moral of the story. We are the hero in the story in the Bible. We're not. Jesus Christ is. The Bible tells us that all that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we'll read it. 1 John 2:15-17. It says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So you can't love the world and love God. It just doesn't work. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. You see, the secular voice, it aims to get us to oppose the will of God. And our desires, God, he wants us to have our desires met. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our hearts. So that's biblical. But the problem is that we cannot be driven by fleshly desires for more. When it comes to sensuality, once again, the world will feed you that you don't have to have a covenant with a person to be intimate with them, that you can have casual sex, or you can just date somebody and be intimate with them and then later decide if you want to make a covenant with them. That is not coming from God. That's a secular voice. And so now you have people that are having so many issues with relationships because they don't honor covenant. God is a covenant-keeping God, and it has everything to do with us being fully committed, fully all in. A covenant is what binds us. And God made a covenant with us by way of His Son, Jesus Christ. And we have a strong covenant with Him. And He wants us to be covenant-keeping people. When it comes to the desires of our eyes, now think about how many times you looked to something or someone and you desire them with your eyes, or you covet somebody else's stuff, someone else's lifestyle, someone else's possessions, someone else's success. Like, you just desire more. And we can never get enough. It's like when you're scrolling through your phone, it's like, I need to see the next thing. I need to see more on social media. I need to see more. The desires of your eyes, it'll drive you. The secular voice will tell you, indulge. It's about you. It's all about more. Just get more. Be the best at what you can do. Build yourself an empire. That's what the world will tell you. The secular voice, it's all about power. It's all about money. And it's all about sex. And that's what we watch. All the movies that we see have these things embedded in them. And I don't live in a box. I watch TV, I watch Netflix, I watch movies as well. But I have to be careful not to adopt these different mindsets, these ideas that aim to make me ungodly. I am called to be different. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth as God's people. What does that mean? We're just called to be different. We are God's children. We're chosen. We're not to be of the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Now, Jesus is teaching a group of people, and He's saying, God's desire is for the word to manifest, to be fruitful in your life, for your lifestyle to reflect the Father's heart. And He says that oftentimes when you hear the word, if your heart's not right, you're not going to receive it. You're not going to bear much fruit. And He talks about the seeds that are sown by a farmer, and they fall by the wayside, and the birds come and they take that seed. And then He uses another example that some seeds fall on rocky soil, and they grow quickly, but they wither because they have no roots. And then He talks about the seed that falls amongst the thorns. They get choked out. Then He explains that this type of person is secular. That's why the word of God doesn't produce any fruit in their lives. And we'll find this in Matthew 13, 22. It says this, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." You see, the secular voice, it gets us to focus on the temporary. It gets us to focus on ourselves. It gets us to focus on acquiring more. And I just got to satisfy all my desires. And it makes us very, very selfish. And it chokes the word of God out of our lives. Now, if you're struggling with this, I'm telling you, the only way to know that it's secular is to know what the truth is. And so the third point is the Spirit's voice. The Spirit's voice is so vital in our lives because we live by way of what He has said. And the Bible says in the beginning that the Spirit of God, it moved over the face of the waters, over the face of the deep. Then God spoke. The Spirit of God still moves. It moved in the lives of 44 plus writers. One author, the Holy Spirit. The Bible took 1,500 years approximately to write. And we read it now. And it blesses us. It's the voice of God in our lives. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So the Bible is God's voice. And the more we read His Word, we'll recognize His voice. Now, my daughters, they learned how to speak by hearing us speak. And it's very similar. When we read the word, when we hear the word, then we understand and we recognize God's voice. Now, how would you describe the voice of your loved one to a stranger? You could say, like, if I describe Ashley's voice to a stranger, I would say her voice is soft, it's sweet, it's kind of high. But that person would not be able to distinguish her voice among other voices unless that person hears her voice. But even then, In the beginning of our relationship, I could not recognize my wife's voice because she sounded just like her sister's. I would call her, and her sister would answer, and I would say, "Hey, Ashley, how you doing? It's Gabe." And she'd be like, "Ashley's not here, or let me get her on the phone." And I would feel foolish because I couldn't distinguish her voice. But now I know the difference. When it comes to hearing God's voice, the more we spend time with His Word, the more that we hear the Word, and the more that He reveals Himself to us, and we receive divine thoughts as we meditate on His Word, it becomes very familiar to us. Now, the Spirit of God, it gives us life. Jesus, when He spoke words, His words were not just regular words, they were Spirit. I like what the Scripture says in John 6:63. It says, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life." It's the Spirit of God. Human effort accomplishes nothing. That's why we need to hear the voice of God. Remember, Jesus said that we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need to be inspired. We need to be alive, full of joy, full of faith. It comes from the Word of God. He says, "And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life." The words that Jesus spoke, the words that Jesus speaks by way of the Holy Spirit are spirit and life. They feed us on the inside. We have spiritual vitality, spiritual vibrance. I mean, we come alive when God speaks to us. It's a beautiful thing. It's important for us to be in the family. See, you can't hear God's voice clearly. You can't hear God's voice unless you belong to Him, unless you are a part of the family. Jesus says this in John 10:27. He says, "My sheep hear my voice." He's talking about His people. "And I know them, and they follow me." Now the question is, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? If you are, if you belong to Jesus, if you belong to the family, if you are a son or a child of God by way of faith, you believe in Jesus Christ, then you will hear His voice. Now, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive the gift of His Spirit, the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, it helps you, it comforts you, it teaches you, and you can recognize the voice of God. Here's what John 14:26 says, "But when the Father sends the Advocate," you see the satanic voice, that's the accuser. The Spirit's voice, it's the Advocate. It stands in our place, defends us, teaches us. Okay, "sends the Advocate as my representative," that is the Holy Spirit. "He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I have told you." He's talking to His disciples. The Holy Spirit will remind you of the things that I have told you. When we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, He will remind us of what God has already said, what's already written. That's why when we read the Word of God, and it's a daily practice, when we hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will remind us of what we've read, of what we've learned, of what what God has put in our hearts. He will remind us of what's already been said. That's what the Holy Spirit does. John 15:26 says this, "But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of truth." We need truth. It's the original formation. I need to know what God had in mind when He created me. What's His original mandate over my life? "He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me." See, the Spirit, the Spirit's voice speaks of Jesus Christ. When you hear the Spirit's voice, it reveals the heart of God, the character of God. It reveals Jesus Christ, who is God. You see, we need the Spirit's voice in our lives. That's why we read devotionals. That's why we read the Word. Even if you read one verse a day, that is breathing life to you. And you meditate on what God is saying. You reflect on the Scriptures. The more that we do this, the more that I do this, my spirit is fed. My faith increases. I have hope. I have love. I'm telling you, it's God's DNA. It's God's voice. And He wants you to hear Him today. Now the question is, are you His sheep? Are you His people? Are you a part of His family? And if you're not, it's very simple. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you believe, when you admit that, you know what, without Him, you can do nothing. When you admit that I've listened to the satanic voices way too long, maybe you've had some dark thoughts, some suicidal thoughts, that's a satanic voice. You've been dealing with depression, that's satanic in nature, in the lies that are being spoken to you. I know I'm very careful with this because I know there's diagnosis and there's mental illness, but I'm telling you, it's not the will of God for you to suffer with those things. It's the enemy's will for you to self-destruct with anxiety and with those struggles with sin and lust and all those things. The secular voices, when you admit, I've been listening to the secular voices as well as the satanic voices, when you admit that you've sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and you believe that Jesus Christ was sent by the Father to die in your place so that you would receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life, and when you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life, then you are a part of the family. You are His sheep. You are His people. And so let me pray for you. If you want to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, just repeat after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I admit that I have responded to the wrong voices. I believe that You sent Your Son to die in my place so that I would be forgiven, and that Jesus Christ rose again on the third day so that I would live forever with You and those who love You. And today I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, I receive the Spirit of God. Now please speak to me. I need to hear Your voice. I pray that you hear God's voice. As you read His Word, you're going to get familiar with His voice. Now let me bless you. Pray that you have an amazing rest of your day and an awesome week. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May His face shine upon you. May He be gracious to you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing this message with friends and family. For more information, visit our website, treeoflife.church, or across social media at Tree of Life Church. See you next week.